We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Gary Tagway hanging in for Keefe today. I got my big brothers with me, Jay Wiggs, Christian Fourier. I'm just along for the ride. Tommy Curran joins us right now from NBC Sports Boston. He's usually on TV whenever there's a game Sunday at 1. He'll be on tomorrow night at NBC Sports Boston as the Patriots get ready for Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. Okay, Tommy, first up, ESPN's reporting that Cam Newton's going to start. So why would I want to watch tomorrow night's game?
Well, because you're a football fan. You like sports, don't you? Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'd rather rewatch the Kansas City game, to be honest with you. I mean, I would rather watch an NCAA hoop game. I don't need to see Cam Newton anymore.
Oh, you can find some NCAA basketball.
Yeah, you can find some NBA basketball.
You can find some. Yeah, I mean, everything that Cam has said this week in terms of, you know, preparing to start seemed to indicate that that will be the case. And whether or not Stidham comes in later in the game, we'll see. I mean, that's really the situation the Patriots are going to be staring at this year and next, and until they return to wherever they're headed, is convincing the fan who is used to a certain level of play to tune in to watch the process, to watch the product. I'll watch it because it's my job. I'm sure there's a lot of people who will watch it because they enjoy it, and there's going to be a segment of people who say, why would I watch that game? It's not interesting to me.
Yeah, you know what? But there is this – I feel like we have this debate every week about Cam. I am to the point now, like, what are we doing? Not to just kind of –
100%.
What are we doing? I asked the question, what is it about Stidham? Like, you've written, you know, a couple articles about this, and we've talked about it plenty of times. But, man, if it's got to be more evident than anything that he sucks. He must be terrible. He must be god-awful.
The bizarre thing about it, Christian, is we can all watch it and see that when it comes to throwing the ball, he's fine. He's more than fine. He's pretty good. So what is it about his, whether it be practice, demeanor, or decision-making? Because, you know, as Bill has said, and Phil Perry did a great job going back all the way to 2009, to a Jason Cole story that Bill gave Jason a ton of time for. And he basically said the most important thing is decision-making and accuracy. Now he's changed it a little bit to decision-making and anticipation. I don't know if that's a byproduct of the way offenses have changed, but decision-making matters. Jarrett Stidham has, or it's the foremost thing, Jarrett Stidham's interception ratio is 9.3%. I know it's a small sample size, and I know that there was a pick to Edelman on a screen that Edelman didn't think he was coming to him. He came to him, and zing, it's a pick six, but 9.3. So it's the decision-making that dunderheaded that Belichick says, I can't reward that and put that on the field when he throws it away to the wrong team all the time. I don't know, but when it comes to simply throwing Wiggy, you can get more from a developing N'Keal Harry in terms of a look at him with Stidham out there than you ever will get with Newton.
Right. Let me just add this real quick, Wiggy, before you go, sure. Because you know, because we had this whole thing about is it pride? Is he being stubborn? Do they have some sort of deal? I would say that Bill is doing a disservice to Cam by keeping him out there, because all he does is allow Cam to confirm that every other team that waited those 86 nights because they didn't want to sign him were right. So he's actually hurting his chances for another job somewhere else.
Probably that's on purpose, maybe.
But I also look at Tom, and we've, you know, like you said, we've had this discussion a million times and a million times over. It's more about who Bill feels like gives him the best chance to win. And what's that say to me when you can't get on the football field? Like, if you were a tight end in that room, and I only bring up the position because that's another position that has struggled. If you're a tight end in that room, whether you're a rookie or a veteran, whoever you are, if you can't get on the field and you can't contribute, then that tells me that you, Bill must think you're not very good. Because if he did feel like you could do anything, you'd be on the field. And I think maybe that's the case with Stidham. And he said that to us before, that Cam gives him the best chance of winning. So I don't understand why all of a sudden we're looking at this situation like it's Chinese arithmetic and no one can figure it out, when he said he gives us the best chance of winning.
Only because the notion of winning has taken a little bit of a hit, because winning is moot in terms of getting to the postseason. Before, you had to do everything you could.
But is it moot in his mind? Bill's mind?
No.
So then it's not.
It is whatever he wants it to be. Guys, right? I mean, were you both on the team in 06?
No, I wasn't there in 06.
All right. So, I mean, it's moot in – it's whenever it, whatever he wants it to be, if he wants to make whatever priority it is, because the priorities can, I presume, be different depending upon – what's best for the football team.
But
you
I was,
can always have that amorphous definition. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so you can kind of – I was there in 2000 when we were, like, we ended the season at 5-11. So, you know, I know people say 06 where the positioning to get in the playoffs was different. But when we were a losing team and he was still coaching, like, we're trying to win every game.
Yeah, and I could see that being the case too, because you do have – these developing players who need to be have the culture instilled in them of we play to the bell or to the final whistle. But on the same sense, Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi and N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers all need to be able to become proficient at the passing game, because that seems to be the way the NFL is heading, to throwing the ball a little bit.
All right.
So let's try and get better at that.
All right, let's bring me to the next question. Tom Curran joining us on the Harbor One Hotline here on WEEI. This is NFL Sunday. Look, Brady's chewing it up. Detroit stinks, I understand that. Gronk had a great game yesterday. Will the success of Brady and Gronk, especially in the postseason, and the Patriots' poor play this season be the demise of Bill?
The demise?
Yeah.
No, I think that it didn't help. And over the last 2 or 3 years, I think we've all covered it pretty exhaustively as to Bill didn't want to continue with a 40-plus-year-old quarterback, and Brady finally wearied of the vibe of, I really don't want you around anymore, so he went elsewhere. Bill got his way, but I think that the two are separate. Bill has built – I guess, Gary, it's a good question, because it's worth asking, but I think we also have to look at Belichick and not think as if the timer is now ticking on him. I think he's bought – a hell of a lot more goodwill and leeway, and I wrote about this today, than to look after 15 weeks and say, okay, you're in a rebuilding year, there was COVID, and accurate or not, you've complained about your salary cap constraints. So we're not going to grade you relative to what Brady's doing down there, even though it looks like crap, given that you didn't want him around, and he's playing as one of the top 5 to 7 quarterbacks in the league. Be that as it may, this is not going to be your demise. It'll be the rebuild separate from what Brady does elsewhere, I think.
Wait, Christian, I just want to follow up real quick. When Brady left, and I think that we all said it was time to go, it was never going to work. Now, I think, can you look at it, and I understand what you're saying, Tom, can you look at it and say, this is where Bill made a mistake. Bill didn't adjust to Tom and Gronk, because – I understand Detroit stinks, and I understand that they've had some problems with Tampa. But with some receivers, Brady at 42 still looks pretty good. So I think it's fair to say that Bill misevaluated Tom Brady at 40 years old. I think we could say that, can't we?
Yeah, you could say
that.
I mean,
I think a lot of us have said it throughout the last few years, over and over and over again, that this is not a great idea. It's still a good player. And when people would say, but, you know, he's not developing with younger players and he's throwing the ball away too much and he's not mobile enough and he only threw 24 touchdown passes, I think that people were so used to Brady being at a particular level and had tired of what they deemed to be his attitude toward Bill and his resignation as to what the direction things were going, that they wanted to place more blame on Brady. Look, the bottom line is they didn't like the uncharted territory of being with a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. And Bill is always of a mind that I want to be young, I want to reboot, I don't want to be the 2011 Colts with Peyton Manning. I want to be always in a position where the next guy is ready to go. And Brady was preventing that. So Bill got his way, and Brady left. Yes, but he left after having the door held for him and Bill saying, please get out for a while. But it just went against Bill's philosophy, Gary, I guess is the upshot of it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, there's no question it did. I mean, but I'm just... It's easy. It's a point of criticism. Mm-hmm. Christian, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's to me, the conversation is fascinating. It's just like all the different
layers. He never should have moved on.
Yeah, he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have. And Tom, we've talked about this. So we talk about the philosophy needing to change now. It really needed to change 3 years ago. It should have changed 3 years ago, and then you wouldn't be. You would have. He would have retired. Played his last game. He would have been. A guy, I can't even think about like a quarterback that actually finished their career John Elway did it. Joe Montana didn't. Dan Marino did it. Like, he really should have been that quarterback. Who else? Brett Favre didn't do it. Peyton Manning didn't do it. So, I don't know. To me, it's obvious. He'll never admit it, you know, because of just, you know, where they're at and, you know, how he is and stuff like that. So, but I just think about this game on Monday, and they haven't been in a position like this, I don't know, 20 years, I guess, right?
Since 2000.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because we always do this before every game. What are you looking to see?
Really, it's Keen, Asiasi, N'Keal Harry, guys on the team that are further down. Like I think Terrez Hall at linebacker is a good player. You know, that's a guy that I'm interested in seeing more of. Is Juwan Bentley going to be, if Dante Hightower doesn't come back, the inside linebacker brains of the defense going forward or not? Do you have to go to that spot in the draft? Who are your explosive pass rushers? Is Winovich still developing? It's really at that juncture to me. And I think one of the interesting subplots to it is, too, guys, the Patriots trailed the Bills by 5 full games. Oof. Patriots are 6-8. The Bills are 11-3. It's 5 full games. So when ESPN and the schedule makers put this together, they weren't sitting there thinking that the Patriots would be out of it by 5 games. They were probably thinking, all right, this will be a good game where Buffalo is still trying to topple New England because Bills are. No, this has gone exactly worst case scenario post Brady as it possibly could have for the Patriots. Again, I've said this before. They have a high floor. They're not going to bottom out at 3-13. But this is probably pretty close to the floor for them being a 6-win team.
Tom, one of the things, excuse me, that I found extremely interesting listening to you, and I think it was Fitzy on Dale and Keith, is because we played the audio of Belichick talking to Lou Maloney and kind of getting a little snippy with him and not answering the question. But you made a really good point where you were like,
yes.
You know, his post-game interviews, is that more of the monster that we created, or should it be more about us as media people? Because when he was doing this in the past, it was all good. But now all of a sudden we got issues with that. And I thought and that's what I think when we sit here and we talk about Bill Belichick, and I say we praise him for controlling the locker room and not getting guys get out of hand when it comes to talking to the media or never giving us too much. But now as soon as things are going a little bit left, now we sit here and we criticize and rip them.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this today. It's on NBCSportsBoston.com. Bill's snark level is at an all-time high. And the difference is now that in 2020, Bill doesn't have Sundays to get the last laugh and basically say STFU without having to say it, because his team takes care of the business. Whether it's post-Jamie Collins or post-Logan Mankins or, you know, 2018 when the team is struggling and then rips off five wins, including the regular season, and wins a Super Bowl. You know, always Bill could be a little curmudgeonly, and then by the time Sunday came, he could just say, see, I was right again. This year it's harder, and the funny thing is he's going to the same well, but these are pertinent questions that we're asking about which way the team's headed. So I don't know if the media has necessarily enabled or embraced Bill's ability to be just, you know, curmudgeonly, and that's the way he is, and we shrug. But there certainly is a segment of fans and people around the NFL who are like, well, why are you surprised that this is who he is, this is how he is? Well, yeah, but the questions are different because the situation's different.
Well,
and the situation does beg for a different level of introspection, Gary, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, when you're winning six Super Bowls, you're a likable curmudgeon. When you're losing, you're an arrogant dink. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's humanity. That's life. And I don't think the media has changed. I think the media is, and I think this is why the Boston media is the best in the country. Because even you'll have Tom, and Tom has been perceived as, at various times, Tom, you've had a great relationship with Brady, or you've been in tight with the Patriots, or Mike Reese was considered a guy that was a Belichick toady, right? I mean, these are all the perceptions you deal with. Mike Reese has been asking legitimate questions. Tom Curran goes in there, and I know Tom's been tight with Belichick. You know, Tom goes in there and asks tough questions to Belichick and gets on the poop list again because the situation changes. I mean, it just does. When you're winning six Super Bowls, there's no reason to ask about the quarterback. I mean, that's just the way it
right.
is.
But I think your
point, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because I think your point was, when I was listening to it, is you were asking the question, and you might have just been asking the question out loud, was, is it us? And when I say us, I mean, that's just, like you said, it could be a combination of fans, media, or is it more of a reflection on us, or is it more of a reflection on him? You know, and just the way that we've kind of viewed him over 20 years.
Well, I think it's a reflection on him as a person. And I'll tell you, and we'll get Fourier in on this too. But I think it's a reflection on him because as a member of the media, you have to adjust to the situation. Tom Curran has to ask questions that are legitimate, which he's doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so does a Mike Reese, and so does a Lou Maloney. Bill has not adjusted, okay? We have adjusted to the situation. He has not. And he will take heat for that. Christian?
I know, but again, why that is who he is currently. I just don't think he gives a crap.
So he's going to take grief, and he's going to take grief, and then when they don't win, people are going to call for his head. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's why I bring up the Brady question. And Tom gave, as always, a well-thought-out answer. Like, okay, logically, okay, but we are talking about sports. Where logic does not come into play for fans. Even me, I'm not going to say I'm considering myself a logical person, but even me, I'm watching the Tampa game as a fan, and I'm going, why can't this be happening in Foxborough? You know, Brady's success is going to hurt Bill. Is it logical to Tom's point? No. But illogically, as a fan, it's going to have an impact. Because you sit there and you say, we thought this guy was too old. We thought Gronk was too old. Why didn't Bill draft Chris Godwin instead of Derek Rivers and get him some receivers? If Bill had been better at drafting receivers, Tom would have had the weapons and we could be Tampa. That is not a crazy statement.
But Tom, this is what I would say, and I don't know if you agree with me on this one, because Gary's been, he's been beating this drum. I feel like he's the only one on planet, let's get rid of Bill, you know.
I think it's inevitable.
But I don't think,
I just think it's inevitable.
And I don't think people are saying that. I don't know what you...
I know they're not. I'm the only one saying
right,
it
that's
because I think it's inevitable.
But I don't think that will ever... Even if he's having a bad year, I think we're not at the level of, you know, where there's a lot of people on planet, let's get rid of Bill, right, besides Gary.
Let me ask the logical one, and I say that I'm not being sarcastic. Let's ask Curran.
Done. Okay?
All right. I'm not being... You have to rebuild through the draft, to me. This isn't the NBA where I can go get one player. Bill does not do well in the draft. So what evidence is there that Bill Belichick can rebuild this foundation through the draft? I don't think there is any. And I think eventually the Crafts are going to have to make a decision and pick a personnel guy from Kansas City or Tennessee or, you know, do what teams do. Do what teams have been doing to the Patriots. People go to the Patriots and they raid their closet. Now the Patriots are going to have to go to Kansas City and raid their closet. They're going to have to Seattle, raid their closet. They got to go to Miami and raid their closet. I mean, Flippin' Flores is doing a hell of a job. You know, I mean,
I think the conversation is going to be had, but I think you're really early to the table with your fork and knife.
I'm just trying to be
first. There before the thing's even been put in the oven. The food isn't even in the oven, and you're sitting at the table. And I was like, why is he already at the table trying to eat?
Well, I just think it's inevitable. That's the thing.
It's inevitable, but I mean, I think that there is a rush to be to get to that conversation when Bill's answer to Christian, and I wrote this story and I went through all of it. Bill's answer to Christian, when Christian asked about excuses, really said, look, guys, this year doesn't matter. So relax. Talk to me maybe January of 2022. Then we'll see where we are. But this year doesn't matter. Yeah. So don't come for me now. And I'm sure that he's made that point to the Crafts as well. Look, you wanted Brady to stick around. You wanted us to make some salary cap sacrifices. You wanted to try and get after it. We did that. Now, the Crafts could in turn say, well, that didn't mean to screw up the last four drafts and bring in N'Keal Harry. And Bill, you know, at that point, would just say, but, you know, Bill is that way. He's going to have his party line, and he's not going to take pushback. So that's the thing is, you can say, look, we had salary cap limitations, and you can't raise your hand and say, but those limitations were Antonio Brown, who you probably shouldn't have dabbled in anyway, and Brady gave you a million breaks on the salary cap over the last 20 years. How can you complain salary cap? You're not going to have a back and forth with him. So that's the points that you're making are good, but because Bill is who he is, you almost have to stand down and watch the train wreck happen if it's indeed going to happen, or how he avoids it.
For you got something before we let Tommy go?
No. I got this one. Hold on. The last time the Patriots played the Buffalo Bills, it came down to a Cam Newton fumble. Do you think that this is, any resemblance to that game where they keep it close, or do you think this is when it finally catches up to them and the Bills really just stomp one on them?
I think the Bills would love to put one on them now, just given the direction of the two teams. And I think that the Patriots are primed with 20 guys on the injury report is questionable, primed to be on the receiving end of that. So this could be a tough game for the Patriots to keep close in.
Right, Tommy.
So they do get stomped.
I feel a stomping.
Okay, Cam Newton, better or worse? Do we change our opinion at all after this game with Cam Newton?
Basically, we've seen this movie for the last 15 weeks. He's very charismatic, but why am I watching him play quarterback?
Yeah, so that's a no, too.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Tommy.
See you guys. Take care.
Tom Curran, Harbor One Hotline, joining us here. And NFL Sunday is presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Okay, here's what's going on. Pats are off today. They take on the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night, and Tommy Curran feels a stomping coming on. I think we all do as well. Cam Newton expected to start. Brady was on fire yesterday in the first half. He had 4 touchdowns. We'd love to throw this in Cam Newton's face. Cam has 5 all year. 47-7, and I'm saying look out for Tampa in the postseason. Celtics will tip off against the Pacers tonight at 8. Oh, I should mention, what a game by Miami last night. Crazy. We have to get to that. I think Brian Flores should be a Coach of the Year candidate. Huge Flores guy. Woj from ESPN says the Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets, two of the latest teams to discuss a James Harden trade. I'll be on with Wiggy later this week on the Greg Hill Show, and I'm sure we will get into that topic. All right, more coming up with Christian and with Jay Wiggs. Brady in Tampa. Patriots are on the outside looking in. Did Bill screw it up with Tom? That's coming up on WEEI.